shades of green, red roses too.
This is Ed Cohen, editor of GlobalBusinessNews.net, and your host today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, coming to you today from Houston, Texas, and San Diego, California. We have Michael Hack, Global Management Consultant for Corporate Behavioral Health, Executive Coaching and Family Counseling Practice, and we have Mr. Fred Newman, who's CEO of Coordinated Health Solutions. We're going to be talking about employee health and well-being. We're going to be talking about employee health and well-being through pharmacy interventions. Let's welcome Michael and Fred. Hello, guys.
Hi, Ed.
Hi.
So it's all about employee engagement, employee assistance. Michael, first yourself. The theme here is employee health and well-being through pharmacy intervention. Now, this has to do with employers and health insurance, right?
Well, yeah, certainly. So if I could tee us up here, as you know, Ed and Fred, in my roles as CEO of a behavioral health company in New York, as global manager of behavioral health and well-being for a Fortune 5 here in Houston, I was always charged with connecting health safety and employee engagement. So the idea was always to do the right thing by our employees to safeguard these three, and productivity and employee success, assignment success, our global mobility would follow.
Fred, tell us about Coordinated Health Solutions. What does that do?
Coordinated Health Solutions evolved from another behavioral health care company that I started 26 years ago, providing employee assistance programs and managing behavioral health for self-funded employers. And through that work, we began to realize that across, well, today, more than 4 billion prescriptions written in this country annually, that there are gaps in care occurring, significant gaps in care for the majority of scripts written for certain classes of drugs.
This has to do with taking care of employees through their employee benefit package, correct?
Yes, through their health benefits, we determined that many employees and dependents dealing with certain conditions were not receiving appropriate care, but yet were not identified through any of the programs that the employer had in their health plan, be it wellness, be it disease management, be it data mining on healthcare claims. A significant group of members under the plan were kind of lost out there, if you will.
I see. So now you're dealing with very large companies, aren't you?
This is across various size companies. The key is that the employer is self-insured. And we do have a minimum size of at least 1,000 employee lives, roughly, and that's not a hard number because you could have an employer with 1,500 employees covered, or you could have an employer with 700 employees covered. And that 700 needs the program more than the 15. The nice thing about our program is we're able to go in and get summary drug data. No protected health information is needed at this point to provide a free analysis to the employer to document from their own data the severity of the problem. And we're also able to price the program through that analysis on a PEPM, per employee per month pricing, whereby we provide a cost savings guarantee that within 12 months, reduced drug spend on the covered drugs will exceed the PEPM cost of the program, or we refund the difference. So very, very unique in that respect to other wellness and disease management programs that are questioned quite a bit about, you know, do they really pay for themselves? Now the reason for putting our program in is not just the reduced drug spend. Nice that happens. Nice it pays for the program. But it's about improving the well-being of folks that are seeking care in the general medical setting for mental health problems, and the vast majority are not receiving appropriate care. Study after study documents that.
Now, I need to ask you some basic questions here. Earlier, you mentioned the company would be self-insured. What does that mean?
Well, with their health benefits, they may be working with an insurance carrier, and the employees may not know that it's a self-funded plan, but instead of paying a premium to one of the carrier's health insurance companies to provide traditional health care benefit coverage, the employer contracts with various vendors. Could be United, Blue Cross, one of them on an ASO, administrative services only contract. Could be a standalone third-party administrator. But you have someone managing the plan, and the company funds into a trust the money that they would normally be paying to an insurance company. And out of that trust, claims are paid and various vendors that manage the plan are paid. And actually, self-funding has become more attractive since the Affordable Care Act was passed, because some of the requirements of the ACA only apply to fully insured plans.
Well, this is totally confusing to me as a layman. I want to back up a little bit here and talk about employee assistance in organizations, through companies, through the benefits administrator, and this has to do with prescriptions, and this has to do with employees not being diagnosed properly or given the wrong drug. Is that
yeah.
touching on,
Ed,
you know, on this
Ed,
issue?
Yeah, Ed, this is Michael. I'll jump in, and to your good question, if I'm an employee that's distracted by thoughts of family or work conflict, if I have some feelings of depression or anxiety, if I have any behaviors involving substance abuse, alcohol, or problem drinking short of a full-blown issue, prescription drugs perhaps for a medical problem, and then I try and come off those prescription drugs, these could all be very distracting to my work, right? So typically, right. If anyone goes to seek help, where do they go? They go to their primary care physician. And that very well-intended primary care physician will prescribe medications. So you or I could go to the medical doctor for a physical. He or she says, you know, what's been happening for you? And we share some of these thoughts, feelings, behaviors. We'll walk out, perhaps, with a medication. It could be a psychotropic medication, without any evidence-based treatment standards, such as a psychiatric evaluation or a recommendation for something other than the medication, like talk therapy or group intervention or some self-care other than the medication that would really be indicated. And as Fred really points out, the technical aspects, but also that these medications are prescribed at an amazing and alarming rate without this evidence-based treatment.
So, Fred, you mentioned that there are over 4 billion prescriptions written annually in the U.S. Boy, that's a lot. So there's certainly issues and gaps or misunderstandings. It sounds pretty scary, actually. Where is the disconnect?
Well, the disconnect, one could look at their utilization of their employee assistance program, maybe 4%, 5%, 6%. You drill down and look at utilization for depression and anxiety only, and that may be 1.5%, 2%. But then you go look at your summary drug data for the prescribing of certain mental health drugs, not all, because not all mental health drugs are heavily prescribed by physicians who have little or no training and really don't have the time needed to properly treat the problem. These doctors, as Michael pointed out, are well-intentioned. The problem really is focused around academic journals that physicians, particularly primary care, general medical doctors, rely upon to treat certain conditions that they're really not educated, you know, or a specialty of, and mental health is one of them. And this is the only class of drugs that this is occurring in, because really our program applies evidence-based treatment standards that are very broad, looking at all classes of prescription drugs, and only those that qualify, as you ask about this disconnect, meet the criteria to be in the program. And again, that's where the general medical doctor, relying upon the academic journal, where there's been selective publication of studies that, quite frankly, has been controlled by the pharmaceutical industry, who obviously has a motivation to sell these drugs, or else we wouldn't see direct consumer marketing. And that's one of the drivers of why we have so many drugs prescribed. And if you drill down and look at just mental health drugs in 2013, there were over 500 million prescriptions written in this country for mental health drugs in 2013. Unbelievable. And you just kind of do the math to realize there's just over 900,000 practicing physicians in this country. Less than 6% are psychiatrists. So not just the drugs we're targeting, but if the pharmaceutical industry wants to maximize prescribing of really any drug, they have to break through with the general medical sector as a source of writing the majority of the scripts.
I was just going to jump in and reconnect with the audience here. Global Business News presents information and news about workplace structure, workforce talent strategy, and employee assistance is certainly a key part of that, especially with cross-border employment. And right now we're talking with Michael Hacken. Fred Newman has just been speaking. Just to back up, Fred Newman is the founder and CEO of Interface EAP and Coordinated Health Solutions. In the mid-80s, Fred Newman was the CFO of a public company that owned and managed psychiatric hospitals. He was in this position and saw the need for a behavioral health care approach, a proactive approach for addressing the impact mental health has had in the workplace, as well as on medical costs, productivity, labor costs. Fred founded Interface EAP in 1989 and began providing services on a national scale in 1990. In 2004, Interface began development of its now patented pharmacy intervention protocol, or PIP, to address the disconnect between the prescribing of certain medications and the type of physician writing the prescription. So, Fred, I see in your bio also that you've been a speaker at World at Work and the Benefit Management Forum, and now in this age, going into 2016, certainly things have changed. Have they gotten better?
As far as prescribing of these drugs, they haven't. Unfortunately, greed plays a big part in the marketing of these drugs. And even though antidepressants are still heavily prescribed in this country, the number growing each year, the revenue from those drugs have decreased because most have gone off patent and the generics have hit the market and they're cheaper. So now you see ads for drugs like Abilify and Latuda, which are antipsychotics, much more powerful mental health drugs than the antidepressants. And these have been pushed out in the general medical setting. In fact, Abilify, for 12 months running between 2013 and 2014, peaked out as the top revenue-producing drug in this country. Again, unbelievable that an antipsychotic developed for severe mental illness would be the number one revenue-producing drug in this country at $6.4 billion.
Unbelievable.
And if you watch the little animated ad, more than half the ad is talking about serious side effects from the drugs. Increased weight, increased cholesterol, increased blood sugar. All the conditions that we're fighting from a health standpoint in this country can be negatively impacted by these drugs. And again, the disconnect is the medical doctor is writing the script as if they were writing an antibiotic to treat an infection. They write the script, and in their mind, they've treated the problem. And again, it's not their fault. They've been miseducated that these drugs correct a chemical imbalance in the brain, which in fact, they actually create one. And there's a lot of literature out there around this supporting this problem today.
Our other guest here is Michael Hack. Michael Hack is a behavioral health care administrator with extensive leadership experience in dynamic, highly matrixed healthcare environments. Most recently, Michael managed the global behavioral health and work life services for ConocoPhillips worldwide operations. For more than 12 years prior, Michael was CEO and managing partner of National EAP, a New York-based employee assistance company providing training, employee and management consultation in both the public and private sectors. Michael, from your experience in-house at ConocoPhillips, to what degree were the employees impacted negatively by getting the wrong prescription or being advised improperly?
The reason it's such a great question, Ed, is that there are so many factors that go into it, but any of the folks that would come to our attention, chances are they didn't self-select any intervention. They were coming to us in full crisis after a failed assignment or about, let's say, a natural, normal life cycle event, a grief and loss issue. And when they'd come into our medical department seeking help, we'd do a routine survey or intake, and through some questions, ask, are you on any medications? And then the information that Fred Newman just presented really came to life within the corporate setting, because now you have any ranking employee coming in with a life cycle transition issue and is being prescribed an antipsychotic. And maybe they're taking this medication for 6 years. And I would ask why. And they said, well, I tried removing myself without my doctor's help and felt that I relapsed. Well, in reality, the clinical presentation is that that was a withdrawal from a very serious medication. So if I could just back up, Ed, and suggest that I think we're really dealing with an epidemic, but maybe it's not just me that matters. I have a book on my shelf, Anatomy of an Epidemic, written by Robert Whitaker, author of Mad in America, and he really talks about these psychiatric drugs and the, quote, rise of mental illness in America. I think we're just seeing a rise in prescription that really impact health, safety, and employee productivity.
Michael, give me the name of that book again.
Anatomy of an Epidemic. It was copywritten 2010 by Robert Whitaker, author of Mad in America.
Interesting. So, Michael and Fred, let's summarize here for the worldwide listening audience about what they should do. Should they contact their HR? What should they do?
I'll jump in. I would talk to your HR and benefits folks and ask them to contact their pharmacy benefit manager. Every health plan has a PBM, pharmacy benefit manager, that manages the prescription drug of the health plan. And ask them to provide summary drug data. No, again, they don't need to know who or anything like that, but just, you know, how many of these scripts are being written to our people? How many different individuals have filled scripts? What is our drug spend on these scripts? And once you have that data as an employer, look at your EAP utilization. There's the disconnect. 3-4% on the EAP, 15-20% or more of your folks filling scripts for these drugs in a recent 12-month period. 90% of employers that we review summary drug data for have more than 10% of their employees on these drugs, and some 20% or plus. And they're shocked when they look at the data. They had no idea they had this many folks on these drugs. And regardless of which side of the debate you're on these drugs, both sides agree these drugs alter brain chemistry. So why would you want that many of your folks on these drugs without proper monitoring and screening to evaluate and monitor the impact that the drug's having and potentially other treatment that the individual may engage with?
Thank you, Fred. Michael, give us a summary statement. How would you, as a corporate manager, prefer to hear the employees speak to you, asking the questions, what is all this, and have I been given something wrong? What would you say, Michael?
Well, fantastic question, Ed. And I would always ask a question. What is the next big thing that would improve overall well-being within the corporate setting? We all know, and the folks listening in, that the corporation or the organization is the best vehicle to deliver medical and supportive programs that will impact well-being. And we do it because it makes business sense and it improves the health and success and the productivity of the organization. So we can all look to stay close to the research. We've mentioned that we're not just a bunch of clinical types talking about a clinical issue. You heard some of that, but we also mentioned a best-selling book and recent publication, Anatomy of an Epidemic. We know for a fact that the United States is one of the only countries around the globe that allows direct marketing to the end user, the consumer. So you can watch TV and then go into your primary care physician and ask for the medication of choice without even knowing what it's meant to target and without any evidence-based treatment. So again, look to get out in front of the research. Pay attention to what's going to improve overall well-being within your organization. And let's get out in front of federal regulations and non-U.S. equivalent regulations that require us to have things like mental health parity and programs that promote health and safety.
Michael and Fred, first, Michael, how can people get in touch with you guys? Is there a website or an email you would prefer?
Sure. Our emails, we're all on LinkedIn and social media. Coordinated Health Solutions is a patented behavioral health program, tried and true. Many corporations are already using it. You can contact coordinatedhealthsolutions.com. Either one of our emails, Global HR, is a great resource that we all get our information from, and you're hearing from today. So this interview and other information will be on the Global HR website as well.
Thanks very much. It would be globalbusinessnews.net. We welcome that. Fred Newman.
The shortest and easiest one is F. Newman, F-N-E-W-M-A-N, at IEAP.com.
What's your company website?
IEAP.com. And then also there's a separate website for Coordinated Health Solutions. You could Google that name or type in CDHEALTHSOL.com.
Okay, well, thanks very much for being our guest today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, a service of Global Business News. This is really important, and I'd like to have you come back again and drill down on policy and practices within EAP and within the global benefit area. I think we should bring in opposing views or supplemental views from practitioners, from service providers. What do you think about that idea?
Sounds great.
I think it's great. It's always good to have the providers and the purchasers in the same room together.
Good. Let's think about that for our next meeting as well, a live conference perhaps in Houston. This is Ed Cohen in San Diego and Michael Hack and Fred Newman over in Houston. Signing off. Have a great and healthy holiday, please. And thanks for being our guest again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
What a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful